Thank you guys for being here today. I know this is a big time travel holiday, and if you went to Cracker Barrel yesterday, you would know that, and we did. And so, anyway, hey, listen, on the bright side, you're not at the beach, but we got balloons hanging in church today, and that's interesting, but we'll roll with it. And hey, let's think of another positive. Those people at the beach are just going cha-ching right now, spending a ton of money because the beaches are closed, by the way, because of rip current. And it's raining, you know, tropical, subtropical, my bad. I don't want to jump the gun here. Alberto, whatever it is. I told Cynthia this week I'm becoming a conspiracy theorist. I don't mean to, but it's happening. I think they just want the advertising dollars, to be honest with you. It's a big thunderstorm in the Gulf, and get your chainsaws. Okay. Anyway, I got a message today. Today we're actually going to kick off a summer sermon series, and we're going to call it Summer of Purpose. Really being intentional about what we're going to do with our summer, even though we have a lot of plans. Come on, how many of you plan to travel this summer? Okay, good. Get out of here. Come back. I plan to travel myself. We're going to South Carolina this year, y'all. Yeah. We're going to go to Myrtle Beach and see what they got over there. We'll see how it works. If you know any good restaurants over there, let me know, all right? But during the summer, even though it is travel time and a lot of people are away, I'd like to capitalize on this time to really be intentional about some things. And so we're going to label this summer the Summer of Purpose. And I've done this before. I just think people listen to messages in the summer differently than they do during the school year. Our lives are so patterned after the school year, but it's true. Honestly, you feel a lot more relaxed today than you did last week. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was because Children's Cup was here or what, but you just seem a lot more relaxed. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're here today. Tell your other neighbors, tell them, say, you're looking good. You're looking good. Looking good, looking good. This week, I went to the dentist this week. I went to get my teeth cleaned. You know, got to take care of your teeth. And so I walked in, and it's been a little while, like over a year since I've been. And the hygienist right now is freaking out. And this lady, she began to observe my teeth, and something in her switched. And she started coming at me pretty strongly about my hygiene. And, yeah, I thought it was a little aggressive, and just the way that she was talking, I called Cynthia afterward. I said, I wonder if I, as a pastor, would do that to people, how well it would be receptive. Like, Joe, I could tell you haven't been reading your Bible and praying every day. Like, your whole attitude, I could tell. You need to start doing that. Like, that's what it felt like. And I just started thinking, what if I did that to people? So today I'm going to try it. Not really, not really. Not really. If you're a dental hygienist, we're praying for you. You know what's funny? She said, you're a mouth breather. Like she was calling me a name. She said, you're a mouth breather. And I reacted. I said, excuse me? She said, you're a mouth breather. What does that mean? I have a sinus problem right now, lady. I can't breathe. Anyway, I'm not going to tell you her name. I got to see what happens next time I go, and then I'll let you know if I tell you her name or not. I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 14 today. I want to preach some message to you that this is a particular topic that I'm very passionate about. And I think it's something very important for us. And I really pray that these balloons don't distract you as much as they may distract me. But they got this little fifth grade graduation thing going on. And so, you know, let's roll with it. It's 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1. We're going to read a little bit. This is a story. I need you to grab all of it because we're going to pull something out of here today that I think is so essential for you, for me, for all of us. Let's read. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to his young armor bearer, come, let's go over to the Philistine outposts on the other side. But he did not tell his father. And Saul was staying, by the way, this is Jonathan, son of King Saul, okay? So Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migron. And with him were about 600 men, among whom was Ahijah, who was wearing an ephod. And he was a son of Ichabod's brother, Ahitub, son of Phinehas, son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh. Come on, that's good names for your animals right there. No one was aware that Jonathan had left, and on each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outposts was a cliff, and one was called Bozez, and the other was called Seneh. And one cliff stood to the north toward Michmash, and the other towards to the south towards Geba. Now, you're hearing this, and you're like, what is the point of all this stuff, Wade? Like, why are you reading this? Hang tight, okay? This is where the story really gets interesting. Jonathan said to his young armor-bearer, come, let's go over to the outposts of those uncircumcised men, and perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. For nothing can hinder the Lord. Somebody needs this verse right here today. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Now look at the reaction to this, to Jonathan from this armor bearer. He says, do all that you have in mind, his armor bearer said. Go ahead. I am with you heart and soul. I like that. Go ahead. I am with you heart and soul. And Jonathan said, come on then. We will cross over toward them and let them see us. Now I think at this point that armor bearer is like, whoa. I didn't realize we were going to do that. Like, I'm with you, bro. But now you want them to, like, see us sneaking over there? I don't know. But he rolls with it. He says, come on, then. We'll cross over toward them. Let them see us. And if they say to us, wait there until we come to you, we will stay where we are and not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, we will climb up. Because that will be our sign that the Lord has given them into our hands. How do you like that decision-making process? So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Look, said the Philistines, the Hebrews are crawling out of the holes they are hiding in. And the men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson. So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. It doesn't look like that is happening though, but this is what he's saying. Now I love the faith. I love the tenacity that they have here. So Jonathan, verse 13, Jonathan climbed up using both his hands and feet with his armor bearer right behind him, and the Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. And then that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area of about a half an acre. Now I'm fired up just reading that. I mean, that's just movie stuff, am I right? Two guys taking on 20 guys, slaying them in a half acre field. I know you didn't come to church for violence today, but man, that fires me up. There's something in this story, though, that I want to pull out of here today that I want to apply to our lives as we kick off this series. Today, I'm going to speak a message to you entitled Heart and Soul. Heart and Soul. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this time that we have together today. I pray, God, for every individual that sits in this room. Lord, it was ordained that they be here. They needed this message, Father. They needed this touch from you. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will make these words come alive. That it won't just be a sermon that we heard, but Father, it'll be a life that you're calling us to live. And I just pray now, Lord, that you will touch every mind to receive this message. Open every ear. Help us to see you in our lives. Help us to see your word and how it affects us. And let it build our faith today. Let it draw us closer and closer to Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. The nation of Israel, who are God's chosen people, they always seem to be under attack. When you read the Old Testament, you see a theme. There's this nation of Israel that God has his hand on, but yet, even though God's hand is on them, they always seem to be under some type of attack. There's always some kind of rival that they face. And wouldn't it seem that if God was really for them, that if God had chosen them, that they wouldn't have any issues? Am I right? Wouldn't it just seem that way? But just because God's hand is on you, it doesn't mean that everybody is going to see it that way. It doesn't mean that everybody is going to agree with it. It doesn't mean that everybody is going to even like it. Or let me take it a step further. It doesn't mean that everybody is going to like you just because God's favor is on your life, just because God's blessing. I know people who are blessed that are hated. Now, that's hard for us to swallow because we automatically assume that if you're blessed, that you have absolutely no problems at all. But I would tell you that when you read through the Bible, you would see that some of the most blessed people that there were in the Bible, they had some problems. Come on, am I relating with anybody here today? I mean, we're blessed, but we got some problems. And we're blessed, but yet we got some people that don't agree with us, that don't like us and don't want to participate. And that's okay. And I think for the nation of Israel, they had to become okay with the fact that not everybody is going to like them. In fact, at the place that you work, it may be possible that there are people who do not like you. Can I get a witness in here? In fact, there might be people you work with that you don't even like. I know you felt the Holy Ghost when I said that, but that was not the Holy Ghost. That was your attitude, okay? There are people all, in fact, there might be people sitting in this place today that you really don't like. There might be a guy standing in front of you preaching today that you might not even like. I get it, man. There might, no, never mind, let's not go there. You know, I thought that when God had called me into the fivefold ministry, then God chose me to be a shepherd of his flock, that meant that people were going to like me. And man, that is just not always true. There are some people that like me. Thank you for all those in here who like me, by the way. Thank you. Thank you, man. I feel better. I can finish this. I was starting to feel, you know, I don't know. But sometimes we just confuse ourselves into believing that we can't be blessed if we may have an adversary in our life. Or we're not really blessed if we may have a little bit of an issue going on. And can I tell you, the nation of Israel always had issues, but God's hand was always on them. And maybe you need to hear that today, because perhaps you're overlooking the fact that God's hand is on your life just because you might be facing something. But you didn't realize that God's hand of strength was actually the thing that would take you through something you never thought that you can make it through. And sometimes our perspective is affected by the things that are on the outside of us rather than the work that God is doing on the inside of us. And so when you look at this story, you see the nation of Israel, and it's facing one of its rivals, the Philistines. And they always seem to be one of Israel's rivals. In fact, if you keep reading in 1 Samuel about three more chapters, you're going to hear the very popular story of David and Goliath. Goliath, by the way, was a Philistine. He was considered a Philistine champion. He was this guy who was bigger than everybody else. And so they would use him as a weapon to conquer these armies. And he would always challenge people to one-on-one. And can I just warn you, the enemy is always trying to isolate you to get you into a one-on-one position. You need to hear that. The enemy's always trying to get you into a one-on-one position. But can I tell you that we're better together? Come on, it's better to run with some people than to run by yourself. What happens if you're running in the trails and nobody's there and you pass out? I mean, the alligators eat you that way. Come on, I don't mean to be gruesome, but let's just get real. But if you got a buddy, they'll help you get to safety. Don't run alone. Run with somebody. And I know what some of you are saying, well, they just ain't fast enough. Run with them long enough. So in this story, you have Jonathan, who is King Saul's son. Now, I need you to grab this, because sometimes in reading these stories, we don't grab all of the context, because in a few chapters, we hear about David and Goliath, and David wins the battle, and David becomes the king. But we don't even realize how that's just not the way it was supposed to go, because the way it was supposed to go is the king would pass on his kingship to his son, because it's considered a dynasty. And King Saul is the first king of Israel. They had never had a king before. In fact, God never intended for them to have a king, but they begged and begged because they wanted to be just like everybody else. And God warned them that if they got what they were asking for, they would have everybody else's troubles. But they wanted it so bad, they begged that God gave them a king. So he gave them this guy named Saul. And so Jonathan, who grows up in this king's palace, automatically in his mind assumes that he's next. Like, he's the next king, kind of like you feel. I'm the next supervisor in my department. I mean, you're all excited. You already picked out your suit and your tie, and you got your pictures for your bigger cubicle than the one that you have now. I mean, you know what it is. You're just all fine. So Jonathan's feeling good about himself, and I'm really wondering in this story right here if he felt a little bit of a need to prove how good he really, really was, because if one day he's going to be king, he's got to have a little credibility, you know, to back it up. And so he says to his armor bearer, hey, I got an idea. You ever had a friend come to you and said, hey, I got an idea, and it was that person that you know whenever they say, hey, I got an idea, you might want to run? Well, this is one of those ideas. And he's saying, hey, listen, why don't we go down there and show those Philistines what's up? And I really think that Jonathan may have been trying to flex a little bit just to try to prove himself. Maybe he was trying to prove it to himself, but I mean, it was pretty risky. I mean, he didn't want to tell his father. And he had this armor bearer. I don't know really all of the rules of the armor bearer, but honestly, it seems like this guy was pretty dedicated to Jonathan. And so King Saul, he's camping out under the trees, and he's really just doing a lot of nothing, which if you study the story of King Saul, he did a lot of that, okay? And so Jonathan decides to take this bold step, and he wants to test the Philistines and see what's going to happen. And I want to focus your attention because there's a lot that happens in this story that really gets me fired up, gets my adrenaline going, and I'm excited about the fact that two guys go on a half-acre field and just whip some tail. That's really motivating and stuff. But as motivating it is, there is something in this story that I really, really think is so important for us, and it's really the reaction of this armor bearer, because I kind of think the guy's a little bit crazy, to be honest with you, because he's really going out on a limb to fight along with this guy, Jonathan, watch this, who's not completely authorized. And he's taken a step out into a place that's very, very vulnerable to go do something, to watch this, to see what the Lord might do. Now, I know enough of you in here that you're not that crazy. Am I right? I mean, you're the kind of people that, I mean, you need to have some good information. Can I hear an amen in here? Anybody like some good information? And so I don't feel like Jonathan gave sufficient information to the armor bearer, by the way, just so I can represent you well. But I also think, though, that when it comes to doing something for God, all the information is not always there. And I think this is where a struggle is for people, and perhaps why they're not willing to take some steps to do some things for God, because they're looking for all the information before they take the step. And God doesn't always give you the information. In fact, in my life, I've found that God has brought me more to the places of I don't know than he has to the places of I do know. And I don't like that, to be honest with you, because I like to have things together. I like to know what in the world's going on. I want to be aware. Like, I walked in here today. I didn't know we were going to have balloons in here. And I had to have a moment with myself. You don't know that. Like, I had to get away. This bothers me. I mean, that. Being transparent with you, just because we live real lives here, you know? I'll quit talking about it so that you won't get distracted by it. In verse 7, this armor bearer, he says, watch this, and it's so interesting to me because he just says, do all that you have in mind. I would have been saying, like, what do you have in mind? Am I right? Who's with me on that? Who's asking? I mean, he's like, do all you got in mind. Now, I don't know if he knew Jonathan that well or not, but I don't care how well I know you, I need to know. And he says, do all that you have in mind. And this one line right here, it has always hit me. He says, I am with you, heart and soul. I am with you, heart and soul. And to think that this armor bearer has no clue what he's about to get into, but he trusts this guy so much with his life that he's willing to say, I'm with you, heart and soul. I just think about the loyalty that this guy has. And really today, that's what this message is about. It's about loyalty. And I'm just really blown away the amount of loyalty that he has to go along with this guy in a very, very vulnerable and, watch this, even dangerous situation just to see what God is going to do. So he says, I'm with you, heart and soul. And by the way, if we're going to talk about heart and soul, this weekend as we're celebrating Memorial Day, let us not forget those who went to fight for our freedom that really went all in, heart and soul. Come on. That gave their lives. I mean, if we want to talk about loyalty, we want to talk about heart and soul, that's what this weekend and Monday is really, really all about. And even if it's raining, even if you can't barbecue this weekend, you can still honor and be thankful for those who gave their lives, because truly, that's what sacrifice is all about. So in this message today, most people, whenever they read 1 Samuel 14, they're impressed with the courage of Jonathan. But the loyalty of this armor bearer is really what's so impressive because Jonathan, he's got this daring plan and they want to go do something to see what God's going to do. And I have to believe that this armor bearer knew the strengths and weaknesses of Jonathan because he's around him all the time. And when you're around people, you pick up on things. You pick up on their strengths and at first you pick up on their impressions. You know that because they're new, they're not going to say anything yet. They're not going to do anything crazy because they want to check it out and make sure the coast is clear before they do or say anything crazy. But after you're around people for a little while, it's almost like the guard starts going down. It's like when you got married, or let's back it up, when you started dating. I mean, come on, fellas, you wanted to look good for her. But after a little while, you just turned the ball cap right on around backwards. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe some of you started out like that. I did. I just turned the cap around backwards because Cynthia said I looked so good it didn't matter. But no, I just that's not true. That is not what she said. But I knew it would make you laugh, so I figured I'd say it. But you start out, you know, you want to make sure that everything is cool with them. And so, you know, you want to make sure that you're talking well and you're representing well. But after a little while, when you get comfortable with them, you start saying things, you start doing some things that just you wouldn't do up front, you know. And so you start recognizing, you start hearing some little things, like you start hearing some things that they like to say over and over and over. And you do it to me. I know you do. I've heard people react to some of my preaching and they say, you always say, come on, somebody. See, now you're gonna think that. Every time I preach, so I'm not going to say it anymore. Come on, somebody. Summer. But I think the longer you're around somebody, the more you get to know their strengths and the more you get to know their weaknesses. And I kind of feel like this armor bearer has been around him for a little while and kind of is picking up on what Jonathan's got going. And perhaps he's picked up on him well enough to know this guy, when he goes to do something, he makes things happen. And so I'm going to stick with the guy. But I'm sure he saw some weaknesses that Jonathan had. And that's one of the risks, by the way, of relationships, is that the closer you get to people, the more you see what they're really, really made of. And I need you to know that, yeah, I do have strengths, but I have weaknesses. And I know you look good today, but there are days that you have your weaknesses too. Amen? All right. I just wanted to make sure that we don't all just think that everybody's perfect here, because we're not. And so that means so much more to me in this story, because Jonathan was willing to follow a guy that had, this armor bearer was willing to follow Jonathan that he knew had to have some weaknesses. He knew he had to have some weaknesses, but despite the weaknesses, he was still willing to say, I'm with you heart and soul. Now, let's shift a little bit, because in our world we're in today, people are looking for what to do. There are students right now that are finishing high school that are looking towards college and are trying to figure out what they're going to do with their life. And I need you to know, this is a very, very stressful time. You don't think it's a big deal. It is a massive deal. And I think of people who are finishing college. It used to be automatic that you got a great job coming out. Now you got to rethink this thing, because Starbucks ain't paying all the bills. And they got student loans like sky high. And so there's a lot more reality to what am I going to do. And there's a lot of people trying to figure out what they're going to do. They're trying to figure out what they're going to believe. They're trying to find themselves. Who am I? What do I think? What do I believe? But one of the things I believe that we're missing, it's not just trying to figure out the what to do, the what to believe, but what about finding out who you're living for? And what about finding out who you're going to run this race with? Because there's a lot of people trying to do the what, but they don't have the who. And that's why they never get to do what they plan to do with their lives, because they don't have the support to get there. And then there's the people who are running with a bunch of who's, but they don't have a clue as to what. And all the who's don't want to figure out what they're going to do. And so they live the rest of their lives just partying it up. Who are you living for? Who are you running with? So I wanted to define this word loyal today, loyal. This is what it means. And I wanted to define, I know you know what it means, but I need us to see it so that we can kind of like process it in our minds. It means to be faithful to one's oaths, to one's commitments, to be faithful to your obligations. And watch this next word. It means allegiance. Just like we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, I'm pledging allegiance. I have some loyalties in my life that I'm going to be allegiant to, that I'm going to be committed to, that I am sold out to 100%. And I believe that loyalty is one of those character traits that we value and we appreciate so dearly. And we just so can appreciate the people in our lives that are loyal to us. Amen. We can appreciate those people who are so very committed to us. And usually when we see loyalty, we see it one way, how people are to us. But what about how we are to others? What if we really, really look in the mirror and see how we are towards others? And I believe that loyalty is actually a struggle. I believe it's a struggle for us, and we're trying to work through it. And one of the reasons I believe that loyalty is so hard for us is because deep down inside, whether we like to admit it or not, we do have some insecurities. We're scared of commitment because we're maybe scared of being hurt, or scared of being let down, or maybe there's some unforgiveness in our life from one particular time that is affecting us still today. And so we measure our loyalty based off of the depths of our pain from what's happened to us before. And so there's some uncertainty, some insecurity about it. But I also think that we struggle with loyalty because there's a sense of independence, that we may think that we're actually better by ourselves than together with somebody. Can I just speak into marriages real quick? You're better because you're married. You're a better man because you married that woman. And you're a better, listen ladies, you're a better woman because you married that man. Let me stand up and say it. You're a better woman because you married that man. I expected the guys to get a little more expressive, but I understand. You got to go home today. And there's that subtle conversation. What was that all about at church today? Anyway, I'll do it for you. Okay. Another reason why I think people struggle with loyalty, and this one is funny, it's insanity. It's just straight up insanity. They crazy enough, you heard how I said that, they crazy enough to think that they don't need any commitments in their life because they just want to live free. And I just want to say, what is this, the 70s? Like, what, I mean, Woodstock still going on in your life? Oh, I don't want to take a job. Why? I don't want to get strapped down. Yeah, there's people like that. Be a pastor long enough, you meet them. I don't want to get married. Why? I don't know, man. I just don't want to be locked in. What do you want? Just want to do what I want. It's like, you've been smoking something, dude. Another reason why people struggle with loyalty is indecision. Indecision. They don't know what they want. They don't know who they want to be with. And really what they're trying to do is keep all the options open. And can I just say this? By the time you're like 73 and you still hadn't committed to anything, that's a problem. Just saying, I didn't mean to have a preach moment right there. I'm really trying to be good today. Stick with the notes. Indecision. Don't know what we want to do, and so we just keep all of our options open. You know people like that. They're never sure what they want to do, but yet every area of their life is asking them for a commitment, and they just won't make the commitment. This is why we struggle with loyalty. Here's another one, is inconsistency. All over the place, committing to every single thing. Committed to it all. And if you're a people pleaser, you're going to struggle with this because you're going to say yes to everybody and everything. And then when you budget all of your time and all of your life and all of your energy, you realize, I ain't got enough of me to go around for all of these crazy people. And that creates a hurt in your life. And then you start pulling away from people and never commit ever again. Do you see how this cycle works? And this is so necessary that we talk about it because loyalty is so important if we're really going to follow Jesus. Loyalty is so important. And I would just say this, you don't just switch it on all of a sudden to follow Jesus and treat other people differently. Are you grabbing this? You don't just treat him one way and everybody else differently. You are who you are. You're faithful with a little, you'll rule over much. And how you are with people, it's going to look a little bit sometimes of how you are with Jesus. And how you are with Jesus is going to affect how you are with people. This is why loyalty is so important. And because we've had some challenges relationally, because we've had some challenges with people, it is directly affecting our loyalties to Jesus. It's affecting our loyalties, watch this, to God the Father. See, everybody's cool with God being God, but they're not cool with God being Father. Because when God becomes Father, that gives him access to bring some things into our lives that we may not be comfortable with. Because when a father steps in, yeah, he's going to bring encouragement. He's going to bring affirmation. But when it starts sounding like correction, we start crawfishing. Crawfish walk backwards, by the way. That's what that means. You're learning something here today. They start crawfishing because they didn't think that God would talk to them that way, because if God loved me, he wouldn't talk to me like that. But go read your Bible. Come on, somebody. Read a little bit of Hebrews chapter 12. He corrects us. Why? Because he loves us. And God cannot stand to see one of his children continually going down the wrong path without saying, if you keep going that way, you're going to fall off the road. You're going to fall over a cliff. You need to go this way. This is the direction I've got for you. And because of some things in our lives, and I need you to grab this, because of some things that have happened to us in our lives, it affects our loyalties to God. So even though God might be leading us this way, because of what our experiences have taught us, we've become more loyal to our dysfunction than we have with God's plans for our lives. Why does this always happen to me? Think about that. Why does this always happen to me? Seems like the further I go, the worse it gets. And I'm just trying to use everyday language, things that we say. I've tried a million times and this just keeps happening over and over. Why is that? Why do these things occur in our lives? And it would almost seem that we're more connected to what we don't want than we're committed to what we do want. Because I think if we ask anybody in here, everyone's intention is, I want to serve Jesus. I want to follow the Lord with everything I got in me. I want to be everything that God wants me to be. I'm sold out. But when it comes to living in everyday life, the pressures, watch this, the anxieties, the fear. And here's the fear. It's the fear of I don't know. I don't know. See, the fear of I don't know is what makes that groom who's getting married that day run before the wedding even starts. God help that guy. It's those things. It's fear. It's the I don't know what I'm getting myself into. I'm unsure. And so let me get out of here before I go too far. That way I don't have to be affected by this. And guys, can I just say that there have been so many avenues of affection in our lives. And when I say affection, I'm not just talking about physical touch. I'm talking about things that have affected us emotionally. There have been so many people that had access to our lives, and the access that we have given them has exposed us to so many different things, and we're in our own little worlds, and we're hurting, and we're trying to get over it, and we're trying to get out of it, and we're just trying to get to good. You know what I'm saying? We're just trying to get to good. Our marriage, we're just trying to get to good. With the kids raising them, we're just trying to get to good. I mean, if we could just be good with it. But we can't understand why we can never get to good, and why we can never get to better, and why we can never get to best. It's because there's like an anchor that is stuck in this one particular area of our lives, and without even realizing it, we're more loyal to that. We defend that, we explain that, we scream that, we talk about that all the time, that we never even focus on what could be. And maybe this is why Paul, he said something like this in Philippians chapter 3. He said, I forget the things of the past, but I press on to what lies ahead. I forget those things, but I'm pressing on. And when you really read the scripture and you pick up on the tone, you see a struggle. You see this, there's something pulling him, but you also see him taking steps. And even though he's got to drag it a little bit, I'm willing to get what God's got for me. And I just want to know, where is your loyalty? Because if you're really loyal to what God's got for you, it doesn't matter if you're kicking or screaming or crying or mad about it. I'm going to get there because I know what God's got for me. And if I got to drag this around for the rest of my life, I'll drag it around, but I'm going to get what God wants for me. Come on. Happy summer, everybody. Coming off the stage and preaching it. Loyalty is costly. It's costly. In fact, I didn't put this in my notes, but when I was studying this, one of those cliffs that they mentioned earlier with the weird names, one of those cliffs, the literal meaning of it was cost. 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 It's not so much that we're not willing to pay the price, as that we don't have enough equity to cover the cost. Because some things were taken from us at one point in our lives and we've never recovered it. Watch this, because we've been looking for somebody to give it to us. And we've been loyal to people in ways that we've been needing to be loyal to God. And we're frustrated with people who can't give us what God gives us. And so we're mad. And we think that relationship is struggling for other reasons, like marriages. But the marriage isn't struggling because of that. It's struggling because you're expecting that spouse to give you what only God can give you. You thought that child was your answered prayer, but that kid cannot give you what God gives you. They can be a blessing from the Lord, but like I said earlier, with the blessing doesn't mean that the people are going to like you. I mean, think about it. You ever had one of your kids say something to you? I know y'all got amazing kids and stuff, but you ever had one of your kids decide to stand up for themselves and say something? And you had that, yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, not in my house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Getting spiritual, but really you want to say, I guarantee you one thing, son. Did that to my mom one time. One time. And my dad reacted so fast and had me pinned against the wall. I deserved it. I promise you, man. Don't take up for me. Don't call it domestic violence. That was just, needed to be what it was. He pinned me against the wall, and he told me, you will never talk to your mom that way again. And I said, yes, sir. And he left me alone. And I never talked to my mom like that again. I don't know why I'm telling you that, but you needed to hear it. Loyalty is costly because loyalty is valuable. It's valuable. And there's a verse of scripture that I've been really looking at lately and trying to grasp all of it. And in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We've heard that verse so many times as a buzz verse. Great to use for the offering, by the way. But I really began to try to look at this verse and apply it completely. And not just one area of my life, but a lot of areas of my life. The people, the causes, the things that you value, that's what we're going to put our heart and soul into. Because that's our treasure. Sometimes we think my heart is calling the shots. Really, our search for treasure seems to be calling our shots more than anything. And we thought we would find the treasure in that person. They are not the treasure. We thought we would find the treasure in that church. But the church is not the treasure. See, we're almost looking for the wrong things. We don't know what we're looking for. It's like, I'll know when I find it. You know what I'm saying? We're in the middle of a house search right now. That's so challenging. Thank you, sister. I appreciate that. Good to have some encouragement, man. It's tough times. And you're looking at these houses, and you look at them, the pictures. And the pictures could look so amazing, but you don't really know if that's for you until you're there. And then there are pictures that you looked at, and you said, that's all me. Then you got there, and you said, uh-uh. You know what I'm saying? Like, you thought this was... I worry about the online dating scene, honestly, because like you could say anything and make yourself look really, really good. And then when you decide to meet at Starbucks, or Red Eye, or Lucky Goat, whatever your preference is, I wonder how many of those ladies saw him and said, that's not what he looked like in the picture, and turned right around and got in her car and left. And if that happened to you, our heart goes out to you. This whole idea of loyalty, though, it's a treasure to have loyalty from a person in your life. It is. I think of it in the context of marriage. Out of all the people on the planet, you would choose to be loyal to that one person for the rest of your life. That is absolutely incredible. Honestly. I mean, can you think about think about how incredible that is in marriage. That's unbelievable. Think about kids. Like, we're all adults, and so we forget what it's like to be a kid. That kid did not get a choice. I know, you know, like, come on, when you were a teenager, summertime, when your parents were telling you no all the time, you had thoughts in your mind about going find other people that would say yes. I know we don't like to talk about it, but I'm telling you, I threatened to run away one time. My cousin and I, we were going to run away. And so he called me on the phone. This was back in the day when they had landlines. A little girl at Surge the other night, we were talking about phones. And we tell them at the camp they don't have good cell service, but there is a landline. She had no clue what a landline was. None. No clue. She's like, what's a landline? I said, it's a telephone that plugs into the wall that goes to the telephone poles that runs like all the way to the other house. She's like, I've never heard of that in my life. So the plan for my cousin and I was this. It was that night we were going to eat supper because you need to eat before you leave because you don't know where your next meal is coming from. That's how well thought out this was. So we were going to eat, and after we eat, both of our families, we had to take the trash out. And so the plan was we would have our stuff packed, and when we brought the trash out, we were going to leave. And so we ate, and I brought the trash out, but I came back in. So he called me. And so I answered. I said, yeah, what's up? He's like, where you at? I said, oh, MacGyver is on. That was the real MacGyver, too, not this new one that is not as good, but the old one. And I said, oh, let me finish MacGyver first, and then after that, then we'll leave. And he said, well, if you're not going to leave now, we're not leaving. So I didn't run away, thankfully, because my dad always told us if we ran away, you know, that was that. Don't come back. So I didn't run away. But I think about even a child, especially as they get older and develop their own will, their decision to be loyal to their parents and loyal to their family. See, that's a treasure, and we just overlooked that because it should be automatic. But loyalty is a treasure. To have a friend that sticks with you through all of your craziness, to put up with all your complaining for all these years, that is a treasure. Yes. Come on, and we don't always see it that way. To have that e-group leader that you just dump it on all the time, and they still encourage you and still love you, that is a treasure. I'm just being honest. That is a treasure, but we don't see it that way. And because of that, we allow our heart to go in other places. We don't see our relationship with God as treasure. We see it just as refuge. And so when everything is bad, that's the refuge that I run to. But the rest of the time, it doesn't seem to matter so much to us. And so when we hear things like, I'm with you heart and soul, it means a lot to us for someone to be that to us. Because in every sense of the meaning of loyalty, Jesus is that to us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. While we were sinning, Christ was dying. Come on, somebody. I mean, and there I said it. Okay, so there you go. Y'all can talk about it at lunch. He embodies what loyalty is to us. But we don't treasure the loyalty, the heart and soul of the Father that he gives to us. We just want the refuge. We just want the safety. But what about the life? What about whenever the Lord calls you into the unsafe places? Come on, when you began parenting, that was an unsafe place. Amen. I'm amening you now. Loyalty, it's what we're giving our heart and soul to. And I want to ask you this question. Are we losing our souls? Are we losing our souls? What does the verse say? I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul. I'm hearing music. Is that somebody's phone? Okay. I mean, might as well lift your hands. Let's worship the Lord. Well, let me make sure it's not my phone. It's not. Are we losing our souls? I could have said it like this, but I chose not to. I could have asked you, are we losing our mind? But I think we're losing our souls. We're losing our heart. We're giving value to some things in our lives that's really not as valuable to us as we think. We're giving our time, our energy to things that are not as valuable. Giving a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of attention to things. And I'm not trying to pick on this because this is a wonderful tool. You can read your Bible on this, by the way. You can share a prayer request. You can encourage people with this. But what I'm saying is that we have given value to things that are really not valuable. And because of that, watch this, it's affecting our loyalties. It's affecting things in our homes. It's affecting relationships. It's affecting kingdom business. It's affecting circles of friends. It's affecting families, marriages. So the big question I want to ask today is, what are you giving your life to in this Summer of Purpose kickoff message today? What are you giving your life to? And I believe we're going to give our lives, if we're going to treasure someone, something, I believe we got to give our lives completely to Jesus. Not just in theory, not just in agreement. Come on, because every one of you in here will agree with me on that one. Am I right? We got to give our I know you will agree with me, the intention of it, but the practice of it. The practice of it is where we struggle because it's like, yeah, I'll be there, but I can't come next week. You know what I'm saying? I'll catch up with you later. We'll get together. Yeah, we'll talk. Yeah. You know, it's just this ongoing like dialogue in our head where we're just trying to make everything good. And I feel like we're just trying to make everything good with Jesus a lot. Oh, God, I mess up. God, forgive me. Okay, man. Amen. Redeemed by the blood. Bless God. Covered by the blood. Jesus. But what about living like he shed his blood every day? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is where I really want us to begin to look at our loyalties. And if anything, this is a little bit of a maintenance check for us where we pull the car in the garage and lift the hood and begin to check things out to make sure that we can go the distance, to make sure that we can get to the places that God wants us to be. Because, listen, you are blessed, and the blessing is a means to get you to further things that God has for your life. There are assignments that God has for you that you can't even get to yet because you don't have enough fuel to get there. Amen. Come on, because we've been giving so much of ourselves to things that aren't valuable. Are you grabbing a hold of this today? And no wonder our energy levels are so low because we're trying to recoup so much, and that 5-day trip didn't recoup anything because it added some stress, because while we were there, we fought. Does anybody ever like go through this kind of stuff? Or is this just like, this is the cycles that we get into? Or there's the blood, it's the end of school year and everything's going good, and you're that mom, you're trying to get everything laid out for your kids, and then your kid comes up with that bright idea. That bright idea. And they could be anywhere from 5 to 15 or even 25, some of them now. I mean, I've just got to throw them in there. When I think of loyalty, I think of Jesus, because he sticks with us even though we're sinners, and even though we participate, watch this, in the very sins he gave his life for, even though we may entertain ourselves with the very sins he gave his life for, he sticks with us. Amen. I mean, how, think of that. How gullible are we that we would treat that relationship like that, that we would have someone so loyal to us, and to know that his love never stops, his grace is unending, his arms are always open. And so this picture of loyalty is best defined by the picture of God and through his son Jesus, how connected and committed he has been to us. And the test for us is, am I committed to him like that? Am I reciprocating that kind of relationship? And you're saying, what you want me to be, Pastor Wade? You want me to be God? I know you can't be God, but I know we can value that relationship so much that we put the effort, the energy, the time into it. All right, do y'all agree with me on that? Like, because I value that, watch this. That's where my treasure is. That's where my heart's going. I treasure that relationship because nobody loves me like that. Man, nobody loves me like that. And because he loves me so much, I want to put my heart into it. And so this is how you know your loyalty to him. Is he your biggest influence? Is he the biggest influence in your life? And when he becomes the biggest influence, you know, man, we are tight. Because the last time I checked, relationships are the things that have the most influence on us. Our relationship with God has to have the most influence. Here's the second thing as we wrap this up. The second thing is give your life to God's cause. Give your life to God's cause. A few things that are God's cause. I believe family is a God cause. Can I hear an amen? These are the people that God has given you to run this race with. Your family. I think about, you know, this weekend is what, 8 years that we've been in Tallahassee? 7? Sure? Yeah, that's true. I'm bad math. Bad math gets people in trouble. 7 years. You know, we moved our kids here. Thankfully, before middle school, amen? But to think, I mean, they didn't choose this route. We did. But I'm thankful that they are running this race with us. Yes, amen. I am, man. I am so thankful that my boys, my little girl, they run this race. You know, they love coming to church. Yes. I'm proud of that. Yes. I am, man. Because I know a lot of people, their kids hate going to church. But these are the people God gave us to run this race with. And not only that, to help them run their race. Family is a God cause. Yes. Do we value that? Are you valuing the family that God has given you? Do you value your spouse? Do you value that man? Do you value that woman? Because if you do, listen, this is such good marriage advice. If you value that person, you're going to give them your heart. If you value them, it's really simple. But yet we make it so complicated, what did I say earlier, because of the things that we've given our loyalties to. Relationships, I believe, are God causes. There are God-given relationships that God gives us in our lives. Friends that help you be exactly who God wants you to be. And that's not every friend that you have. But there are a few friends that God has given you, specific friends that you know. That person, they're going to hold me accountable to what God has for me in my life. That person, they're gonna be there and pray me through the discouragement. That is a God relationship. That is a treasure. And that's what scares me about so many people that are trying to fly solo. Jesus didn't fly solo, man. He put a bunch of guys around him because he knew the power of relationships. We need some godly relationships. And I believe it's a God cause. I believe the church is God's cause. I do. I believe it's God's cause because this is what God is doing in the world today. And listen, I don't just treasure our church because I'm the pastor. I treasure the church because this is God's plan. This is God's plan. And whether I'm pastoring or whether it don't matter if I'm just attending, man, I value God's church. And because of it, I put my heart and soul into it. It's a God cause. I believe your calling. And I want to take this deeper and make it very personal. Your calling, your assignment. And I believe this, that every person has a God-given assignment on this earth that God wants you to complete, to fulfill before you spend eternity with him. And I believe that we should give our lives to fulfilling that call, to fulfilling that assignment. And you say, I don't know what it is. I believe it's a direct reflection of drawing closer to God. The closer you get to God, the more you hear his heart, the more you realize what he's got for you. But you have a God calling on your life. You have an assignment. You may not become a pastor someday, but there are people that God has intended for you to reach. They may be in your neighborhood. They may work at your job. You may not preach a message to them, but you may cook a meal for them whenever they're sick. And that may open the door for you, for them to ask you, why do you do this? And you start telling them. God may have it set up for you to lead an e-group, not so that you could just lead another e-group at Emerge Church, but because there are some people that God would use you to reach that no one else in Emerge Church can reach. Like, you have to know that. There are people that you can reach that I can't. And I won't. But God's got you in those positions, in those places. There are specific people. Cynthia talked about 2 weeks ago when she shared her story about there were these ladies that were gap fillers in her life that filled that gap because her mom had passed away, but they filled the gap in her life. And maybe God's calling, maybe that's the assignment that God's got for you, to fill a gap for somebody who's missing a mother. Do we value that? Do we treasure what God has for us in our lives? Because I believe this, the things we treasure, that's the thing that we give our heart and soul to. Do you love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength? Remember that little verse? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Do you love him? That's just a picture of what you value. We value loyalty. And I believe this, if you really knew how much Jesus loved you, how much he cared for you, and what he was willing to do for you, you would know that he is the most loyal example that you have ever heard of or seen ever throughout all of eternity. And it would be so attractive to you that you would say, I will be loyal to him. And that loyalty to him will affect every single area of your life because it's pure. It's innocent. It's true. It's right. And we don't always get to experience real, true, innocent, pure, and right. But with him, you know it's pure because there's a sacrifice to back it up. Every head bowed this morning, every eye closed. And I want to give you a loyalty test as we finish this today. When it comes to Jesus, do I just have an opinion about him? Do I have a conviction about him? When it comes to Jesus, is he just someone I'm interested in, or is he someone I'm investing in? When it comes to my commitment to him, is it optional, or am I being intentional? When it comes to Jesus, is my default to be logical, or is my default to be loyal? See, logically, it made no sense for Jesus to give his life for sinners who would continue to sin. Logically, it doesn't make any sense. But because he loved us and valued us so much, he chose loyalty. And today, I want to ask you, will you choose loyalty to him? Are you with him heart and soul? Are you willing to follow him into the places of I don't know? And maybe today, as you're here and hearing this message today, maybe you feel like you have been a million miles away from God. But you realize how close God wants to be to you today. That is changing your values. It's questioning your loyalties, and it's making you realize that the one who loves you more than anyone else is worth your loyalty. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor Ray, I need to come close to the Lord, I'm not where I need to be with God. Maybe you've never experienced the salvation before. This might be your first time with us today, but you say, Pastor, I need to surrender my life to the Lord. I want you to lift your hand right now, and you can just set it right back down. We want to pray with you today. Maybe as a believer, maybe you can say, Pastor Wade, my loyalties have been in other places, but today I need to reestablish that loyalty to the Lord. Anyone else would raise their hand today and say, my loyalties have been other places. Yeah. I want to pray. We do this every Sunday. You know how we do it. But let's never overlook this moment right here, because it may seem like routine to you, but to another person, this is the day that their life changes forever. This is the decision that changed it all. And I want us to give respect to those moments right there, because Jesus said today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. And this could be that person's day. So will you all pray this prayer out loud with me? Say, Dear Lord, thank you for loving me no matter what. I hear of your love. I hear of Jesus. And it makes me respond to you by giving you my life. So today I commit to you all of my heart, all of my soul, and all of my life. I choose today to live this life that you gave me your way. I want a relationship with you that influences me from the inside out, that changes my opinions, that changes my life, changes the way I think, and ultimately changes my heart. So Lord, today I'm following you. I'm learning your ways, and I ask for your help. I ask you for your Holy Spirit to walk beside me every day, leading me towards what you have for me and who you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen.